Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, continuing with one more episode about peace of mind and estate planning.
Yeah.
You've gone through a number of issues, documents, of course, but also some things that really set you apart as a estate planning company that has to do with stewardship and the bringing the Christian faith into your plans. And you want to elaborate on that this week.
Yeah. So over the past weeks, we've been talking about how do we gain peace of mind and why would I suggest that we can get peace of mind by doing this thing called estate planning. And we've talked about Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7, which says, be anxious for nothing. So in other words, there's something that is in us that is saying, I'm uncomfortable. There's something that is not dealt with. There's something that is not right. That could be a spiritual issue, a health issue, and it could also be a very practical issue, such as I don't have my estate in order. And I know that in order to be a good steward, I should have these things in order. And I've talked about that when we use our voice, in estate planning and have things set out well, that that the Apostle Paul ends up saying that then the peace of God will guard our hearts and our minds, which is that there will be a shield around us. It'll be a guard around us. And that's really what estate planning is supposed to do. It's supposed to be a shield. It's supposed to anticipate that what happens if you have a health emergency. So there's two times when we need to have an estate plan. Number one is if you have a health emergency and you're compromised and you can't manage your own financial affairs or make a decision concerning your own health. We need to have proper documentation, and those are power of attorneys. Power of attorneys gives someone else authority to speak over our finances or to speak over our health. It could be to banks, to 401ks. It could be to our selling our home. That's what a financial power of attorney would do. The health care or mental health documents, those would speak when we're compromised and we need to have a medical decisions made, but we don't understand exactly what's happening or we're just unable to make it for whatever reason. So ensuring that you are protected is my first job. And we got to have the right documents in place to ensure that you are well protected. Then the other time that that estate planning documents are necessary is when you die. It's not an if I die. We're all going to pay taxes and we're all going to die, unfortunately. So when we pass away, is our estate in proper order? And that's actually one of the highest values or one of the greatest reasons people come to me. I don't want to leave a mess. Well, I agree with you. You shouldn't leave a mess. Mm-hmm. So we need to do this thing called estate planning to make sure that indeed things are, we've used our voice, that things are going to happen exactly as we anticipate. Let me give you a little nugget here. If you say, let's say you have two children, and you say in your will or in your trust, use a trust, don't use wills, use a trust. When you say in your trust that my two children get everything equally, well, I know how to divide a bank account, I know how to divide a retirement fund, and I know how to divide a house in half when we sell it. All that is very easy. But how do we divide the family photos in half? How do we divide mom's wedding ring? How do we divide the jewelry? How do we divide that family heirloom that has come from multiple generations and everybody wants or nobody wants? I don't know which way it's going to go. So the nugget here is that money is easy. It's the stuff that's hard. And so we need to make sure that a good estate plan, in order to have true good transition and have a peaceful transition to the family. Boy, I tell you, if there was something in my estate that drove my two girls apart from each other and started a family feud, I'd rather die with nothing than intervene on their relationship or drive a wedge before them. Do you know how many stories I hear of stuff
Stuff that's caused a rift in the family.
Isn't that incredible?
Not money, but stuff.
Stuff. It's the stuff. And
Who got mom's mink coat?
Exactly. I had somebody tell me a story the other day that it was dad's office chair. I don't know the whole story behind it, but that was the riff. I've heard other ones of a dollhouse that somebody built. It's stuff. It is the craziest stuff. So make sure, if we're talking about peace of heart and peace of mind, we got to make sure that we account for what we consider junk in our life to be passed on properly. Because when people are grieving, all of a sudden, the thing that nobody wanted becomes the thing that everybody wants. It is absolutely crazy. So do your family a favor. Do really good estate planning. Speak to the issue. Use your voice. That's what Philippians is really talking about. Use your voice. And then the documents will stand as a guard around you first, and then it'll be a guard and a protector to the family unit when you're no longer here to tell them what to do. So therefore, good estate planning will bring peace to you because you know that you've actually done what you're supposed to. You need to keep those updated. So it's not a one-time drill. You need to get into a relationship with an estate planner. Make sure that the tax laws, and we'll get into that later today and finish up some tax issues. And you need to make sure that the legal things are updated. And you're going to change your mind to some stuff. So we've got to make sure that that's done well. I was just reading a case because that's how weird I am. I read legal cases of that a person changed their estate plan. I think it was five times in the last 3 years of life. Well, guess what? That causes issues and anxiety to everybody who's not a part of that conversation. But if you were in a relationship with an estate planner that was presenting your estate plan and that knew your heart and knew your passion and moved with through life, all of that is going to be eliminated. So get into a relationship, make sure it's done well, use your voice, and including use your voice over the stuff because it doesn't look like it's anything now. I can almost guarantee you it's going to be something at the end. So let's make sure that there is peace of heart and peace of mind to you and to your family unit. How? By doing good estate planning. And, you know, by the way, Scripture is very clear that we are to be good stewards. We're supposed to think through this thing called legacy. We're supposed to have a plan that outlives us. And so when you have been given things, then I am going to propose that just because you die doesn't mean your voice is supposed to end. As a matter of fact, Scripture tells us exactly the opposite. Proverbs 13:22 says, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous." What does that mean? So we're thinking generationally. You're supposed to think generationally, whether you have a little or whether you have a lot. And no, well, let me say, yes, it can mean spiritual issues, but it's not limited to spiritual issues. This word, "but the wealth of the wicked," that means money. It doesn't mean spiritual wealth. It means money, the stuff that we use every day. Why is the wealth of the wicked stored up for the righteous? Well, because the wicked don't plan. They use their money. They use it for self. They use it for their own purposes and their own desires instead of thinking through, what am I supposed to do with this thing called stewardship? So why is the wealth of the wicked laid up for the righteous? Because when we have selfish ambition or when we don't give credence to planning well and follow what the word says, which is we are supposed to be generationally minded, then our money is squandered and it never accomplished the full purpose of what it was set out and put into your hands to accomplish. So I find biblically that we are actually supposed to be thinking generationally, not just in terms of who gets my money and I'm dead, so who cares? Well, you should care, actually. God thinks in terms of generations. He doesn't think in terms of just today or just your life. He is setting up a grand plan for his word to go out to generations and generations, well, you've been given stewardship over what you've had. Again, it could be a little or a lot. But properly transferring that, properly thinking through what does it mean for me to be a good steward, takes generational thinking. You know, in Psalms 103, it says that the righteousness is to your children's children. You know, notice the difference between Proverbs and Psalms, that a good man leaves an inheritance to their children's children. That's talking about money. But in Psalms 103, the righteousness is to your children's children. That's your spiritual legacy. Mm-hmm. So they are dealing with different issues. And so if you try to improperly use Proverbs 13 as a spiritual attribute, then I don't think that you're seeing that scripture properly. It is talking about this earthly wealth, whatever you have. Again, whether it's a little or a lot. Psalms 103 is talking about your spiritual wealth that you're passing on, and that is to your children's children. Mm. So scripture gives us two very clear mandates. Deal with the finances and the stuff of this world and be wise with it. Let's think generationally with it. And also, I'm going to give you another portion of scripture that encourages you to be sure that you're wise and build a spiritual legacy for generations as well. Mm. And so there's different scriptures for those different issues. The bottom line is that we need to be good stewards with whatever has been placed into our hands. And the New Testament definition of stewardship means an administrative giver. So you are to administrate with a passion to give properly, to give to the next generation, to give to your church, to give to nonprofits, to prolificate the gospel into a dying world, or to other nonprofits that you are passionate about, to make sure that you are wise and that you are generous with what you have been given. And so with wisdom, then, we can actually make a very strong plan, and that will give us peace of mind. This may take some prayer and some seeking of the Lord in order for you to really find where you're supposed to, what you're supposed to do with your finances. Good, let's put in that time and energy. But when you do estate planning well, and when you set yourself up to be well protected, that the documents are going to be your guard, and when you know that you've done well with being an excellent steward because you've planned for generations, you've planned for what is supposed to happen with your money, and you don't have just this laissez-faire attitude as I'm dead, who cares? Well, you're supposed to care, is my proposition to you. And actually, you do care, because otherwise you would just give all your money away now. And that's not what you're doing. So you do care with what happens to the ones that you love. And again, I wouldn't want money to be handed to my children to ruin their relationship together or to ruin them as individuals. So we need to make sure that we're wise, that we are being a strong steward, that we are administrating what has been put into our hands, and that we are giving it with intentionality and with purpose, whether that is to protect your family, whether it is to be generous with nonprofits, wherever your vision lies, we need to be good stewards. It is our mandate.
Stewardship and generosity in estate planning gives you peace of mind. We'll discuss this a little bit more, maybe some more tax issues to make that work after the break, but people are intrigued by your approach, Paul. They want to find out more about your services. How do they do that?
Head over to legacyandfaith.com. That's why I've named the show Legacy and Faith, so that we can talk about the practical side of this, the spiritual side of this. Blend it all together, legacyandfaith.com.
Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's Legacy and Faith.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. We're continuing on peace of mind in estate planning,
yeah.
And Paul wants to give us a little bit more of a scriptural basis for generosity and maybe how some tax planning can help as well.
Yeah, you know, Scripture says in 2 Corinthians that we have to determine in our heart what we are going to give. We don't want to do it grudgingly or under compulsion. So when we think about estate planning, this is not supposed to be a knee-jerk reaction. This is supposed to be thoughtful. It's supposed to be intentional. And so in aligning that thought process, we talked about taxes last week in our previous show. And of course, you can find that at legacyandfaith.com. All of our past podcasts are there. And so I want to finish this entire session just with what does it mean to be radically generous and how does that help tax issues? Maybe just finish a little bit of the tax talk as well. So, generosity is a great way to mitigate and reduce taxes. We did talk about that last week. It actually takes a dollar for dollar deduction in an estate when you're generous to properly recognized nonprofits, 501c3s and the like. So being generous is awesome. It's really good. I love working with people who are generous. And again, I've mentioned it doesn't have to be where I would be generous. I help people give money to multiple organizations. And so my values have nothing to do with your values. I want to hear your heart, capture your vision, and make sure that what you are a steward over is going to the right place. And so this drill called estate planning has a lot of tax necessities in it as well. And the area that I really did not get to wrap up well is when we use a trust model, we can leave really strong gifts for nonprofits and for our family in a protected wrapper so that when we pass away, all of the tax advantages that we can find in a trust are actually played out to the next generation. I did talk about last week about how you can set up a charitable trust and give a long-lasting gift instead of just a one-time check. And so go back and listen to that as well. But what I didn't really get to is what are some of the tax advantages in for the family's sake? So when we hold things in trust, not only are we being good stewards and getting the money to the right people, but you may have a very high value to ensure that your family is taken care of generationally. Fantastic. Well, if we use a will, it's just a check writing instrument, and there's no tax planning that I can do in a will. So therefore, when we utilize a trust instrument, which is a high majority of the instrument that I use in my practice, then we can actually set up proper tax alignment for generations. There's multiple taxes that we need to be aware of. Number one, there's a thing called a generation skipping tax, which is if money comes to me in a trust. So I'm talking about a trust, not if it comes to me personally. If it comes to me personally, then it goes on in accounts under my social security number. It's mine. And then whatever I have to pay in taxes, then I have to pay in taxes. Well, let me stop right there real quick. Sorry, I'm doing a quick squirrel here, which is inheritors at this time are receiving more money than they've ever had in their lifetime. And when you pass, specifically if you have done well financially, when you pass that money to the next generation, then there is a likelihood that if they don't use it, that they will also experience a tax when they die. So we're passing a taxable estate off to another person who is going to have a taxable estate who hands it off. And probably by that next generation, the money is gone. And so it'll be used. So we're passing a tax to a tax versus when we do proper estate planning, if we can deal with the tax issue at your level, but then when it's well taken care of and managed at the next generation and it's passed further down the line, no tax is re-exposed. So in other words, it's not a tax to a tax. It's a tax and we're done. Now we can start passing wealth generation to generation. But it is critical that trusts are set up right. And the sad thing is that I've seen very, very few trusts that have ever come across my desk. I've reviewed hundreds and hundreds of trusts done by other attorneys, and very, very few have ever been done generationally minded. Mm. So the trust is developed to save a tax when one spouse dies, and to avoid going through probate, but it's not set up properly generationally. What's interesting is they use generational language in there, but it's not set up right. So there's a thing called a generation skipping tax, which is if you leave money to grandkids, it's potentially exposed to a tax. If we leave money in a trust that is not properly done, so let's say my parents die, they have a trust, they leave me money, I'm conservative financially, I don't use their inheritance, and then it goes to my kids. Without proper tax language, when it goes to my kids, because I didn't use it all, a tax could be then applied to whatever I transfer to my children. So there are ways to make sure that that doesn't happen. We don't want a tax to a tax to a tax. We want to resolve the tax issues at the level of the client. And we can do that. We can do that with proper planning, and we can do that with proper generational mindset. So we need to make sure that estate taxes are properly dealt with when we have this instrument called a trust. Unfortunately, most are not dealt with properly, so we need to review that. We're happy to take a look at what you have, let you know that it actually is accomplishing the task that you set out for or didn't. In addition, there are income taxes. So if I inherit something in a trust, well, that trust is like a small business. So think about that an inherited trust as being like a business entity. Every business entity has to accommodate or account for income tax. So somebody always has to pay income tax. Every year, you have to pay income tax one way or another, whether it's as an individual, whether it's as a business, or whether it is as a trust. So when we preserve finances for generational purposes and for tax purposes in a trust, a tax return must be done every year. Now, there is a wrong presumption out there that taxes are higher in a trust than if someone just simply inherited it. Now, that is a general presumption that might be true. That might be true. However, with good planning, that does not need to be the case. As a matter of fact, the trust that I create can actually save income taxes to your inheritors on an annual basis. Specifically, if they are high income earners, specifically if they have good jobs, specifically if they are working.
They already have a good income.
Yeah, that's right. So specifically when they are already having good income, a trust can be designed in a way that each year you save that beneficiary income taxes versus if we used beneficiary designation or we used a will and money just simply went to them. Okay, just write them the check. It's just theirs. Well, I can create a trust that gives them a bunch of access. So that it doesn't have to be restricted from them. They can have a lot of access and use their inheritance as they desire. I can create that trust, not a problem. I can also create a trust that has some good boundaries. If we don't have someone who has good financial skills, or if we have somebody who has health issues, or we have someone who has addiction issues, or so whatever the issue may be, we can stretch out the money to ensure that it lasts a lifetime if you want. But we can also create a very available trust. But when it's properly designed, wouldn't it be great if we had tax advantages on an annual basis to your beneficiary. So not only are we saving estate taxes and not paying a tax to a tax, but we're actually saving annual money instead of just simply using a will or a beneficiary deed, a beneficiary designation, and just giving the money into somebody's hands. There's no tax planning in that at all. So when we talk about proper stewardship, we need to also talk about proper tax planning. All of this can happen. All of this can take place, but we have to do proper planning. And this proper planning will ultimately be your guard, and it will give you peace of mind.
Peace of mind in estate planning, a big subject. Last few shows, you can find the previous episodes at legacyandfaith.com. That's also where people find out how to get in touch with you, right?
Yeah, that's right. So you can go to legacyandfaith.com for past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, and ways to communicate, all found at legacyandfaith.com.
It's the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.